Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Israel Duran. He is the author of Money Management Mindset, a visionary entrepreneur, husband, and father of three. Israel, welcome to our show today.
Thank you, Chris. It's an honor to be here on the Gifters Podcast.
So Israel, as I said to you prior to our podcast showing, we spoke to one of your employees, Joseph, giving Joseph a shout out. In life, people always ask about connecting and how do you connect better? And we were talking about, it's really all about the vibe. What kind of vibe do you give out? And for you, Israel, whether through yourself or your employee and watching your videos and your message, you just have this genuine vibe of you wanting to give back. And it's funny that we both have this deep desire to share stories. I do this for keynote speaking. I share stories, science-based to improve teams and build sales. And then from the online world, I help them become speakers. So for you, let's talk about your story and where you began and when you realized that you had this knack or desire to be an entrepreneur.
I love the question, Chris, because it really goes down to the disposition, right? You use the word vibe, and vibe really has to do with the root, the core, you know, the disposition of the individual company or nonprofit. And you know, what really runs our company is the disposition of service, of adding value and of purpose. And for me, it all started, Chris, back when I was 7 years old. I actually got into an experience where I was drowning. I was drowning and, you know, I was dying. I was already clinically dead. You talk about science. I wasn't in my body anymore. I actually saw my body. And people argue about these things, but this is what my experience was. And I got to tell you, Chris, that when I was drowning, I felt a peace that came over me that I can't explain. And all of a sudden, I saw a man jumps in the water, pulls me out. I never see the man's face. All I see is his arm over me. And I'm outside of the water. And I knew I was given a second chance. And I was trying to find the guy to say thank you, to say something to him, and no one to be found. And that was when I knew that my life had purpose and I was alive for a reason. I didn't really understand what that was, but growing in life and learning, I discovered that part of my purpose is connected to people, and primarily also in the area of entrepreneurship and business, how I've been able to impact a couple of people over the world.
A couple. You're being modest. So 7 years old is quite young to have that level of experience, frankly. So where do you take that seven-year-old young boy to the next turning point in your life where you really started realizing I can be an entrepreneur? Was it in your teenage years, in your 20s? When was that pivot or turning point?
Yeah, I use that story because for me, you know, growing up, my father passed at a very young age, 29 years old, of a heart attack. Wow. You know, I was very rebellious. I had a speech impediment problem. They held me back in second grade. They pretty much gave up on me. And, you know, now having, you know, been able to be in a position to train speakers and help visionary entrepreneurs grow and scale their businesses, it's kind of ironic. The stutterer, the kid that had a speech impediment problem, is now training others to speak on stages worldwide, online, offline. And, you know, I use my story because it's what I teach, right? And truly growing up, you know, past college, you know, I discovered that, wait a second, I need to produce income here. And, you know, getting a degree is not going to do it here, right? It gives you debt, right? But unless you're fortunate, and I was somewhat fortunate enough to actually get a decent job after college, you know, you're going to be struggling. And I discovered that my gift, which is telling my story and empowering others, was actually profitable and it was monetized. And that's what I do now. I help other speakers discover their gift so they can deliver it to the world in the form of selling from the stage, online, offline, right? Bringing their products, their programs, their services to market and doing it in record time.
That's great. And talk to us about some of your clients that you've helped out, because a lot of people are not perhaps familiar with this online world. And it really is one of the most scalable, impactful things, whether from income or impact, that you can speak all around the world and still be in the comforts of your home. So tell us about some of your clients you've helped and what are some of the challenges that you've helped them move through?
100%. Everyone knows this pandemic, what it's caused, right? If you weren't properly positioned online, you were racing to get positioned, right? In terms of, you know, your home office, in terms of online presence, so your customers can find you. But the thing about marketing online is that there's a lot of noise, right? In marketing, the currency of marketing and how we say is attention. You want to get people's attention. So really what we do is we help our clients get positioned properly online so they can receive the attention that they need from the people that they can actually help so they can go ahead and make an offer, whether that be a service or product. And we love to do it on this digital stage because you can sell one-to-one, but you can also sell one-to-many. And an example of a recent success would be one of our clients. He was already successful, seven-figure earner. And we took his model of his event and we went ahead and broke all his records in just a 5-day event that we did with him. He actually broke over 480K in an excess of 5 days. And that event will actually bring him specifically 770K in revenue in the next 6 to 7 months. And I could, all these numbers that I'm showing, we have all the data and all the legal backend to share this testimony with you.
That's great, Israel. It's so important to build a community. It seems like you've really built a robust Facebook community. So for anyone that's listening or watching, it's really important that you have really two networks. One is an expert network, like hiring Israel. And the other one is a client network to hire you. So tell us how you went about building this fairly massive community on Facebook so that without that community, you're not going to have clients. So what were some of the first steps you did to perhaps share with our listeners?
Sure. So the first step with Facebook, you have to understand how Facebook works from a technical standpoint. I was just sharing with you, Chris, that back in 2011, Facebook made a big switch, and that's really limiting the reach that Facebook pages get, right? And the reason why they did that is because they want more users to spend money on ads. So now you might have 11, 12, 15,000 people that will actually go ahead and, you know, like you and follow your page on Facebook, but when you post something, they never see it. Mm. Whereas in groups, it's different. When you start a Facebook group, and if you do certain things in the group, Facebook will actually go ahead and put your Facebook group in front of more people on their platform, and then more people will join your group and you'll continue to grow. So there's a distinction there. If you don't have a Facebook group, start one and start to create that engagement. And Facebook will slowly but surely put that group in front of more people that are like-minded and based on the data points, join as well.
And from my understanding, I have a colleague and a client of mine. She has close to 3,000 followers or group members in her group. It's free. And then from that group, she builds rapport. And from there, she ends up selling some of her more paid programs. So is that one of the models that you recommend people do? If you create a Facebook group, build rapport, and then in time, if it's a good fit, then you often upsell them some other more paid services. Is that kind of the model?
Yeah, it's more of a long-term visionary model, right? If you're looking to just, you know, make a dollar, so it's probably not the right move for you in terms of ROI, right? But if you're looking to serve people, if you're looking to bring value, if you're truly looking to connect with your target market and you understand relationship, what you just said, Chris, is very important, right? And it's just that Facebook group is more of a long-term strategy in really nurturing those relationships to then be in a position to serve and actually close deals and close opportunities. But I see so many people that they get sold a lie, you know, like something that is far-fetched, right? Like, hey, you start a Facebook group and that's it. That's all you need. And, you know, you'll be successful. It takes time. You see, intention, there's no replacement for intention. And I share that up front because I love to give people realistic expectations, you know, because our group right now is over 250,000 people and it's growing very fast. But you might have like your friend, a couple thousand, and that's still going to grow, right? But the intention of actually pouring in value and making sure that you deliver is important.
Let's talk about that, Israel, when you said intention. So let's talk about, it's usually a crescendo perhaps. So you start at zero. Did you start 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago? Like, tell us about the beginning part because many people might not ever get to that point, but it's just about that arc. So did you start, how many years ago did you start your group?
Well, I have many different groups. The group that you know is roughly about 4 to 5 years old. But in reality, we have one of our other clients that just started a group 30 days ago and he has over 10,000 people, right? So wow. It just depends on what, and if you're spending money on ads as well, when we run digital events, we actually recommend to run the digital event with a Facebook group. So as people are signing up to your digital event, you want to put them in a Facebook group so you can go ahead and engage and all of that, build that community. But in the future, if you wanted to do another event, you have a pool of people in that group that you can advertise to for free. So sometimes we do run, you know, our clients are running, you know, 100,000 and more in ads, and we will take those people and put them in a group to nurture and also create that marketing machine for continual advertising.
Yeah. And for the listeners, as you're listening to Israel, it's not a coincidence that Tony Robbins does this, Russell Brunson does this. What's his name? The other guy that was on it recently, he had these like 3-day masterminds. But if you see these industry heavyweights doing it and Israel's doing it, it seems like it's probably the right track. But it goes back to what you're saying, that in this online world, never would I have imagined, Israel, that I could have clients in 120 cities and 30 countries, 6 continents. And I'm not an online guy. So I want our listeners and viewers to know that when you look at Israel, don't think, oh, wow, I can never have this. No, just remember, he started somewhere. And for you, what was a turning point for you? Because you talked about your story when you're 7 years old. You talked about when you started realizing you can make a living from it. But in the online world, as opposed to the offline world, it is a little different. So when did you realize? Because I always thought all this online stuff was actually BS. Like, I'm a New Yorker, you know, and I started this online journey about 5 years ago. I'm like, this is all like BS. But when I really started diving into the numbers and the groups and the reach impact, I was like, whoa. So for you, what is a suggestion that you might have for our listeners? Let's say they want to create a community. They want to build this connection. Is it just to start a Facebook group with the intention to serve with a very specific skill set? Or is it to, what do you recommend? Do you think Facebook groups are definitely the way to go, or as opposed to a LinkedIn group?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And you mentioned LinkedIn. Well, it really depends on where your target market at. Is that right? I talk about, in our company, we talk about the 4 pillars of business: branding, marketing, sales, and operations. You see, every business, no matter if you're even a nonprofit, you need these 4 pillars. You need to have a brand strategy. You need to be properly positioned. You need to have a marketing strategy. You need to know who you're serving or who your message is targeted to. And you also need to have a sales process and how people make that decision, whether it be to donate to your nonprofit or invest in your solution. And you need to have operations in place so you can make sure that you deliver on what you're promising and making sure that you get those deliverables to your customers. So really, you got to first determine who your target market is and then think about where they're located, right? If you're B2B, they're most likely on LinkedIn. If you're B2C, they're most likely on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Contrary to popular belief, a lot of people think that B2B customers are not on Facebook. And yes, they are. We have clients that do big deals on Facebook in B2B connections. So first determine where is your target market and then choose that platform and then go forward with it. And think about joining LinkedIn groups. Think about joining Facebook groups. Right, TikTok is a big one as well that's growing up for those that that have that audience, right? There's a lot of noise going on TikTok. Also, Instagram. Remember, it's all about attention. And when you position yourself on these platforms and then you step in, you add value, right? You become a person of influence and people will then hear you and follow your suggestion, right? Don't think about, and this is just a little tip for someone because I had to learn this through mistakes, through making the mistakes. And actually, it cost me a lot, but I'm going to give someone a gem here. Don't focus on money. See, that's one of the biggest things that people focus on when they start a business. You need money to obviously sustain and grow. The key to producing money is focusing on solving problems. The bigger the problem you can solve, the more money you can generate. So don't focus on specific generating money. Focus on the values, focus on solving problems. And when you do that, you will generate business.
That's great advice, Israel. Last question I have, you mentioned in your bio and in the first sentence, frankly, that you're a husband and father of 3. So out of your 3 kids, what's the one lesson from your book do you feel that you most want them to really take to heart?
That's a very, very powerful question. I love it because it's, you know, going back to my story about my father passing away, 29 years old. I was only about 3 months when he died. My son, Abio, just turned about 4 months. And when he was 3, I looked at him and I went back in time and I thought about what my mother was going through and my family members. And, you know, obviously it's an emotional state. But I say this because one of the things that I discovered is that your gift and your purpose is really what it's about, right? And in my book, I talk about understanding your why, understanding your purpose, understanding what drives you, right? Because it gets to a point in business where money is not going to be your driver. You know, once you're generating a couple million or half a million, you know, if money is what you wanted, you know, you're pretty much going to be able to live and sustain and live the life that you want, unless you're living some, you know, over the top life that you don't necessarily need to. But if money is just your driver and you're in business, after a couple of years, you're going to have enough to do what you want. There has to be something else that's greater than money that drives you to actually produce the revenue of 6, 7, and even 8 figures in business. So it would be the lesson of why. And I teach about that in the book, knowing your why, knowing your purpose, because that's what's going to drive you to stand before the trials, to stand before the tribulations, to go through the temptation. Before there's glory, there's always temptation. Before there's growth, there's always a struggle. Before there's an increase, there's always a decrease. And it's your why that's going to allow you to go through all those tough challenges.
Israel, that's a perfect way to end our show. I hope your kids do watch this podcast one day, because it really is that core intention of knowing your purpose. And that purpose, in my opinion, is to serve. So thank you, Israel, for serving our viewers today. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.